Hello and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller and I'm very pleased to welcome my guest today, Dr. Joanna Amaro. She's the coordinator of the Criminal Justice Degree Program as well as a professor in the degree program. Thank you very much for joining me today, Dr. Amaro.
Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about age-graded theory of social control. So what is that exactly?
So when we were asked to pick our favorite theory to talk about on your podcast, the first theory that came to mind for me is the life course theory, because I really like how it looks at how an individual's engagement in crime changes over time. So the life course theory was really developed by a scholar named Adler from the 1930s onwards, and it looks at how the context and the social context and the socio-historical context that an individual resides in impacts their life and the opportunities that they have over time. In the early 1990s, two scholars at Harvard named Sampson and Bob began work on their age-graded theory of social control, and they used the principles of life course theory of how looking at transitions and turning points over time impacted an individual's ability to desist from crime over time. As criminologists and criminal justice practitioners, we talk a lot about how people get into crime, what are the reasons that people commit crime. We don't talk a lot about how individuals get out of crime.
Mm-hmm.
So using some of those principles and tenets from the life course theory perspective, Sampson and Lobb developed an age-graded theory of social control. And they drew on the constructs of social bonds, so attachment, involvement, commitment, and belief, and informal social control. And they sort of merged these two concepts, and they also incorporated social capital and the importance of social capital. So your ability to develop relationships with people in your life and the community around you, then you can access those resources when you need help or support, because people will be willing to show up for you and help. So in the context of desistance, when we think about an age-graded theory of informal social control, and we think about how it ties to social bonds, social capital, and the life course theory,
mm-hmm.
we can think about how an individual moves throughout their lives and how their interactions with different social institutions might provide opportunities to move away from crime.
Mm-hmm.
So Sampson and Lobb identified some key social institutions as providing opportunities to provide turning points or transitions away from crime.
Right.
So the first they talked about is marriage.
Okay.
And it's not marriage in and of itself. Being married is not going to be a factor that, you know, leads you away from crime. But it's the development of relationships of reciprocity, where there's behavioral expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect this from you, you can expect this from me, and when that doesn't happen, there's consequences for behavior.
Right.
So that was a big one. So the institution of marriage, it's not in and of itself a transition or turning point, but it's the quality of the reciprocal relationship between two individuals. The second that they talk about is work, and we talk about work quite a bit and the importance mm-hmm. of having legal, stable employment, not only because it provides you with the ability to pay for things, but also because it structures your time. If
right.
you are at work from 9 to 5, 6 or 5 days a week, then you're not off doing things that you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
A lot of people find self-fulfillment, and it's a way that they develop self-esteem through their work. So having access to stable legal employment is also a big factor. The next one that they talked about was military service. And in the sample that Sampson and Lobb were looking at to develop this theory, they were looking at individuals who were born in the late 19-teens, I guess,
yeah.
the early 1920s, and who participated in the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
So they identified military service so much as a fact that it represents a knifing off point. It completely
mm-hmm.
removes you from the context that you were in and
mm-hmm.
puts you into a different context. And that knifing off point can serve as a way to get you away from people who you're maybe engaging with and engaging with in criminal activities. But what they found later when they went back and they talked to these men when they were 60, 70, was that it wasn't so much military service, but the GI bond that they got when they came back.
Right.
Because it gave them access to a house, and it mm-hmm. gave them that start in life, and establishing those ties and those resources. The last facet that they talk about is human agency, and this is pretty contested with a lot of scholars, but
mm-hmm.
human agency essentially is the principle that despite everything going on around you, despite all the positive, all the negative, you as a social actor have the ability to make a decision. So
right.
You can make a decision as to whether or not you want to continue to engage in criminal behaviors or whether you want to move away from criminal behaviors.
Right.
So these factors unfolding over the life course, taking into context the situation of the individual, the socio-historical context in which they engage in, mm-hmm. are all factors that can facilitate desistance. And the last part, and the reason why it's potentially called an age-graded theory of informal social control, is when we think about desistance, there's one universal factor that contributes to desistance from criminal and antisocial behaviors over time, and mm-hmm. that is age. So across all offending populations, whether you're committing minor petty thefts or mm-hmm. extreme violent crimes, as individuals age, they desist in the crimes that they commit. It's one thing that we know to be true, and when we don't know very many other things to be true. So all of those factors together contribute to Sampson and Lobb's conceptualization of an age-graded theory of informal social control, and also a life course perspective and understanding to criminal involvement over time.
So interesting. I'm sure there's so much more that we can know, but at least we got a better understanding of what age-graded theory of social control and life course theory is. I want to thank you so much again for coming on the podcast today. And until next time, I'm Natalie Miller, and this has been Criminal Justice Knowledge.